This episode contains explicit language. Before we get started, the Mom and Dad crew want to let you know how heartbroken we all are after yet another senseless, tragic shooting. We recorded today's episode before the shooting in Texas. That's why you won't hear us talk about it today. However, we will, sadly, return to this topic soon. In the meantime, if you want to learn more about how you can take action against gun violence, visit everytown.org. Welcome to Mom and Dad Are Fighting, Slate's parenting podcast for Thursday, May 26th, the So Many Questions edition. I'm Zach Rosen. I make a podcast called The Best Advice Show, and I live in Detroit with my family. My daughter Noah is 4, and my son Ami is 1.
I'm Elizabeth Newcamp. I write the homeschool and family travel blog Dutch Dutch Goose. I'm the mom to 3 littles, Henry, who's 10, Oliver, who's 8, and Teddy, who's 5. And we live in Colorado Springs, Colorado, but I am coming to you from Grand Teton National Park in Wyoming.
I'm Scott Hershovitz. I'm the author of Nasty, Brutish, and Short, Adventures in Philosophy with My Kids. I teach law and philosophy at Michigan. I've got 2 boys, Rex, who's 12, Hank, who's 9, and we live in Ann Arbor.
So great to have another Michigander on the show today.
Thrilled to be here.
We got the case of a curious kid today, and she's just trying to figure out the world, but the questions are getting big. Our letter writer wants to know how he can nurture his daughter's curiosity while still keeping her grounded. Not grounded like in trouble, but, you know, not floating away into space with all her thoughts. Then on Slate Plus, some of the wisest and funniest things come out of the mouths of kids. We're going to talk about some hilarious things that our kids have said over the years. Here's a sneak peek of what you'll hear if you have Slate Plus.
So when he came home, my mom said, you know, like, hey, why did you choose to be an angel? And he said, well, first of all, I have angel hair, because he has this white hair. Second of all, I look pretty good in white. And number 3, I don't really like sheep.
If you want a weekly bonus segment from us and your other Slate favorites, consider signing up for Slate Plus. You'll also get to listen ad-free and get unlimited access to the Slate website. To sign up now, go to slate.com/momanddadplus. Again, that's slate.com/momanddadplus. All right, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll dive into our triumphs and fails of the week.
If you're new to our show, welcome. Whether you're a parent, educator, or just interested in this wild journey, we're so glad to have you. Here on Mom and Dad Are Fighting, we share our parenting triumphs and fails, offer some advice, and share recommendations of things we love. We're here twice a week on Monday and Thursday, so subscribe to never miss an episode.
This podcast is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity, much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save nearly $800 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $793 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2021 and May 2022. Potential savings will vary.
We're back and moving on to some parenting stories from our week. Scott, do you have a triumph or fail to share with us this week?
I do. I've got a triumph wrapped up in a fail, so we'll start with the fail. We took our kids to London recently to do promotion for the book. We wanted it to feel like something had happened in their lives when the book comes out, and actually not much really goes on the day a book comes out. It's just like Amazon starts delivering it. So we took them to London, and we brought them home. And the day after we got home, our oldest Rex tested positive for COVID. So after 2.5 years of keeping him healthy, we had that fail. But then, wrapped up in that, there was a triumph. He's been in his room isolating alone because the 3 of us are still miraculously testing negative. And so he's entertaining himself with his devices. And I thought that was mostly playing video games. But then on Sunday, he sent me a note with a link to a Google Doc where he'd assigned himself an essay and done some research. And he had written, he had watched some videos about Aristotle and Kant and their views about the good life. And he wrote me a one-page essay about what he thinks a good life is. And I got to say, it was pretty good. And he told me he tried to do it in my style. So I took it as just a huge compliment. I mean, he did say, "Is this really your job? I can't believe how bored I am after an hour." So maybe it's like a fail wrapped up in a triumph, wrapped up in a fail. But it was really sweet and impressive that Sally entertained himself.
I love this. This is like, don't they say like boredom, right? Like breeds creativity. I mean, one of the things I'm always preaching to my kids is that boredom is good for them. Like, it's amazing what you will find in your boredom. So here, I think this is a win. This is what they have found.
Yeah, totally. That was my mother's view too, actually, is I'd complain that I was bored at school and she'd say, "Look, the world wasn't made for you. You know, find a way to entertain yourself." And yeah, just surprising that this is the way he did it, but super cool.
If you're comfortable sharing, can you tell us a highlight of what the good life is to him?
So, you know, the content was kind of interesting after sort of giving a thumbnail summary of Aristotle and Kant, he kind of expressed skepticism that there's a right answer to this question and thought maybe we each get to decide for ourselves, which I think is true within a range, but I also think there's some answers that are out of bounds. So we had some conversations about that afterwards.
He is truly a philosopher's son. How about you, Elizabeth? What's going on your end?
So we left on this trip on Saturday, and we record today as a Tuesday. This would have been Henry's last day of school today, but instead we had his last day on Friday because we pulled him out early to take this trip as we do. So Friday was kind of crazy. I volunteer at school on Fridays. We had this big volunteer luncheon and pizza Friday. And when we get into the car, Henry has this giant antler with him and he goes to school in the woods. And so this is very kind of normal. And I'm like, "Hey, are you supposed to take this antler?" He's like, "Yes, I'm definitely allowed to take this antler." I'm like, "Okay." So we get into the car. We go then to a friend's house who has offered to feed us since we are leaving on the trip on Saturday. So we go to the friend's house. I put my phone down, don't think anything about it. And when we get back into the car and I pick up my phone, there is a voice memo from a father at school who says, "Hey, when they were on this perimeter hike where they hike the 4 miles that surround the school, my daughter and your son found this antler. Henry made some kind of arrangement to pay $40 to get to keep the antler." And so his daughter showed up at home with $40 and my child showed up with the antler. So, of course, I have a conversation with Henry. "Hey, is this what happened?" "Yes, we found it together. I offered to pay her." "Okay, how did you come up with this amount? You know, did you talk to a teacher?" "No, we didn't talk to any teachers. We Googled the going value of antlers. We decided that this was a pretty good, like, typically you would buy them online, gosh knows where, for like $80, $100. Since we each found it, I was paying my half." It was like, "Okay, we don't take money to school and purchase things. The antler probably belongs to school in the woods." He's like, "Totally cool," right? So I actually, because it's the dad, I texted the dad back. And then Jeff kind of said that he would make the phone call and handle this. I was handling last minute packing. There was also a snowstorm hitting Colorado Springs. We got about 15 inches between Friday and Saturday. And so we said to this other father, "Hey, we're leaving. We will kind of deal with this when we get back," because he was anxious to return the money. We also wanted to make sure that the antler got back to school in the woods. So we were like, "Listen, can you just send the money in with your daughter, have her give it to one of Henry's two good friends whose moms volunteer there with me all the time. We will do the same with the antler. Everything will get back there." I don't know if this dad didn't think that we were going to return the antler or what was going to happen, but he was like, "Well, we want to come pick up the antler and make sure it gets to school in the woods tomorrow." So we're like, "Okay, I can put it on my porch, and in this snowstorm, you can come get the antler if it is that big a deal." So I put a box out on the porch. This man came, got the antler. $40 was put under our patio, and I feel like I handled some kind of like terrible wildlife, like poaching situation. Like, it just, the whole thing, you know, I was just thinking like, gosh, what a weird way to end our time there. I, of course, talked to the principal on the phone. He was like, "Oh no, stuff like this happens all the time." Like, okay. I definitely think Henry understands now we shouldn't be buying things from people at school. We definitely shouldn't be buying parts of animals. Like, that was part of our conversation. And of course, is part of the learning going on, but just the like untangling of it. And you know, when I got the initial voicemail, I just knew, like, this is going to be such a bigger problem than just, like, returning the antler and getting money back. Do you know what I mean? Like, I just could tell it was going to be this whole thing, because it always is. But in the end, everything's fine. But it just felt like, oh, another weird thing that I have to deal with parenting that I was not prepared for.
The law professor in me just loves what they did, though, right? Like, they found this thing in the world, which they took to be unowned. They claimed it. They took themselves to have an equal and undivided interest. And then they figured out a solution to that problem. They appraised the value of the item, and they reached an agreement about who was going to buy the other one out. It's like, that's a triumph.
Exactly. And honestly, like, when we approached it, you know, with many things in parenting, it's like not as cut and dry, right? Because I was like, I love that you didn't steal it, right? You could have taken it. You know, they were both like, oh, it was off of school property, which, you know, technically it was. I mean, you're absolutely right. They solved a much larger problem. Unfortunately, they were missing this small ethical piece, right? But yes, I mean, I think many lessons were learned. I should look at it, though. You're right. Like, he came to a problem and really solved it. And in a capitalist society, really did the right thing. We were both like, you kind of got a great deal, right? Like $40 for an antler. That's pretty good. Should we be selling them? I don't know. But
it's place-based forest school at its best.
Yeah, with money. I mean, so really, you know, all of this stems back to the day that Henry took the dog walking job. Like, this all stems back to the fact that he makes way too much money for a 10-year-old. And that's something we're constantly now trying to control. Like, it was good that he took this job. It's lots of responsibility, but he gets paid really well. And so he now has the ability to buy and spend money.
He's taking his antler money to school is interesting, because you never know when you're gonna need it.
I know. Jeff and I are like, I guess now we need to open like a bank in the house and you need to deposit your cash. No, you can like get your cash out of the bank when we say it's okay. I don't know. Listeners, if you have any ideas of what to do with a 10-year-old who's making too much money because he got a job and he's really good at it, so more people keep hiring him, let me know. Zach, how's your week going?
You know, my week is going really well. I feel rejuvenated because I spent this past weekend on an annual friend trip with this group of guy friends who I've been like best friends with since kindergarten, literally. We like rent a house in Michigan somewhere every year, sometimes twice a year. And so we had that weekend, and going into it, I was just feeling so burnt out. I was losing my patience and just like, I got to get the fuck out of here. I can't be a dad right now. And the weekend did exactly what I was hoping it would. Gave me a chance to bond with my buddies and relax and just hang out. But then also I'm just noticing, having come back from it, my patience is back. And I'm just thinking about people who just don't have the opportunity to leave their kids at all. I just have so much respect for you because, man, a break is, to me, foundational and essential to be a person who shows up as a parent most of the time. So if there's any way you can get a break, I highly recommend it because I don't know what I would do without it. So thanks to my wife for watching the kids this weekend, and shout out to all my fellas who I was on the trip with. It was really nice.
That sounds amazing. I always pledge that I'm going to do more of that, and I never do. Putting my own oxygen mask on first, because that's really what you did, was give yourself some much needed space. Yeah.
Yeah. My wife and I trade weekends often. Like, she got one with her friends a month or two ago, and then, yeah, couldn't recommend it more. Let's take another quick break. And when we come back, we'll get into today's listener question. Okay, let's hear today's listener question, being read, as always, by the sensational Sasha Leonard.
Dear Mom and Dad are fighting. I'm the father of a very precocious, sometimes anxious, 8-year-old daughter. You might be able to relate to this. With her, the questions don't end. Where was I before I was born? Can ants feel pain? Why do I have to go to school? You and Mom get to sleep together. Why do I have to sleep alone? Who is God? Is Putin going to hell? I'm usually enchanted by her questions and game to do my best to answer them. But I sometimes feel like she can kind of spin into a bit of a loop when she gets obsessive in trying to get to the bottom of things. Beyond therapy, what can we as her parents do to nurture her wonder while also helping maintain some kind of feeling of mental peace? Yours, head-scratching dad.
Scott, as the philosopher here, I imagine you have some really helpful things to say. How does this question strike you?
So, you know, when I heard it the first time, I found myself sort of confused as to who was feeling overwhelmed. Is it dad that's feeling overwhelmed, or is it daughter that's feeling overwhelmed? And I kind of get the impression that maybe it's a little bit of both. So let me try and break it down into like thoughts for dad and then thoughts for daughter. For dad, I want to say something I think he's already onto, which is like, this is a really wonderful thing about your daughter. And actually, lots of kids are like this. They're filled with big questions about the world. And your daughter's right in the sweet spot of the age where they're interested in deep questions like, where was I before I was born? Or who is God? And that's not going to last forever. And so it's really worth enjoying while you can. And I think dad knows that, but I just want to, you know, highlight again how super cool this phase of childhood is. The second thing I'll say for dad, if he's feeling overwhelmed by just the constant stream of questions, is you can try and redirect them into the times when they're most fruitful to engage, or you have the most space or attention or energy for engaging them. So in our house, that's often bedtime. You know, we read a story together every night, but I sometimes offer my younger son, Hank, a choice between we can have a story or we can have what he calls a man-to-man chat. And then he gets to pick the topic of the chat. And sometimes there are big questions like this. And I love to have those conversations at that time because the house is quiet and there aren't other distractions. And strategically, like Hank is trying to extend his bedtime. So he like wants to have these conversations and it's often really fun. The last thing I want to say to dad is just picked up on one word in the question. He says, I'm game to do my best to answer them. And I want to encourage dad to like think of his role differently, right? So sometimes you're asked questions and it's your job to answer them. But sometimes I think with these deeper questions, it's not your job to answer them. It's your job just to engage in a kind of collaborative conversation and explore the world with your kid. So Jana Morlone runs the Philosophy Learning and Teaching Organization out of Washington State. She goes into schools and she talks to kids about philosophy. And she says that she doesn't teach them philosophy. She does philosophy with them. And I want to encourage dad to see his role as not, I have to answer this, but I can say, what do you think? And then, you know, think of it as like an exploration together. And then like, it seems like maybe daughter's feeling overwhelmed too. And I think if in this role, I think as dad, I'd want to just communicate that, you know, we don't really know the answer to a lot of these questions and the uncertainty is okay. And to tell her that people have been thinking of these questions for thousands of years and struggling to answer them, we're not going to find the answer tonight, but we can keep coming back to these issues and you can keep coming back to these issues. I might even tell her there's a job, right? You know, you can be a philosopher someday and you can worry about these questions as a profession. And maybe that's something that'll interest her. And then the last thing that I thought might help is to give her books that address some of these questions to help her explore, you know, with other people. So there's a series of books called The Really, Really Big Questions. And there's like a new version by a philosopher named Stephen Law is going to come out in July. And it's right for this age group. And some of the questions that his daughter is interested in are addressed in that book with pictures. And it's in an age appropriate way. So I might, you know, try and offload some of the responsibility for having answers by giving her things to read.
I'm thinking about head scratching dad describing his daughter as like, you know, her wheels can spin out sometimes. You two have had 8-year-olds or have 8-year-olds or older. What have you found to be an effective way to, you know, have the conversations that you're talking about here about kind of cultivating wonder and uncertainty, but also just like helping them relax a bit, you know, and helping them, you know, kind of find their footing again?
Yeah, I think that the fact that you need to move on now doesn't mean that the conversation is ending permanently is something I try to communicate to my kids. So, you know, we can talk about this more tomorrow. We can talk about this weekend. Or why don't we write down some ideas that we can investigate later? So I think that's one strategy. Also, I think, and again, this gets back to the dad side, like, I don't know how to answer these questions, or I try to answer as many of them as I can. I think sometimes like empowering them, giving them, I want you to write down what you think the answer is, or you think about it, you know, for a few days and then write down what you think the answer is. I think making it kind of task oriented for them, I think, is a way of channeling the energy.
Fundamentally, if kids know that they're like safe, loved, cared for, that you can say to them, I know these are big questions and none of this changes kind of any of those things, right? That I love you, that you're here, that we're keeping you safe, to help them sort of ground them. I know for my big thinker, my 8-year-old is in this zone very much. And we've actually found a lot of like using yoga, meditation, things like that to just be present, like to talk about like, yes, there are these big thoughts, but also we need to be present here. And here are some practices that can help us be present in this world, because there are times in which we very much need to be grounded. And there are times in which it's okay to kind of explore this kind of do these thought experiments, right? But there are also times in which we're not in a good place to do those, or we've become too lost in those. And so learning like, hey, we need to come back. We use the term heart center because that's what they use in our yoga practice. But like, hey, we need to return back to kind of heart center and being present here. And we can talk about this, you know, again.
Well, head scratching dad, I hope some of these ideas help. We would love to know how it goes. Everyone else, how are you dealing with all the big questions? Email us at momanddad@slate.com. That's also where you can send any other questions you have. And that's it for our show. We actually won't have an episode on Monday because it's a holiday, but join us next Thursday for a conversation with Scott about his wonderful book. And of course, we won't forget the recommendations, so be sure to tune in. While you're at it, please subscribe to the show. That way, you'll never miss an episode. This episode of Mom and Dad Are Fighting is produced by Jasmine Ellis and Rosemary Belson. For Elizabeth Newcamp and Scott Hershovitz, I'm Zach Rosen. Thanks for listening.